here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, if you shoot a little from the bridge, you've got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I wouldn't dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't, it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Hey, welcome back. Another episode of the show, Steve Tavares is Angry. I'm Steve Tavares. Thought for this episode, we talk a little bit about, man, what crazy stuff that went down in Dublin City Council this week. And touch upon the story I wrote last week in the East Bay Express, a feature on the Castro Valley Rebels, as I call them. This group, this new wave of Castro Valley residents who are trying to bring some self-determination to the city, become a city. And what I tried to convey in that story is that everything is stacked against them. And incorporation, cityhood ever happens, it's gonna take some major heavy lifting, you know, like the heavy lifting that you see like on Ancient Aliens, where they go like, how, think about it, huh, if not aliens came here during the Mayan times, how did they move this giant solid block of granite? It's gonna be that kind of lifting, like ancient astronaut theory. Some, just for some perspective, and we'll talk a little bit with Michael Kuziak, is one of the leaders of the Castro Valley Matters and the people who are looking for incorporation. But first, since everybody's probably went to the store and got some corn and got some barbecue ready for Memorial Day, let's talk about the real stuff. Memorial Day, America. So my Uncle Eddie, one of my more favorite uncles, a pretty funny guy, small business owner. He was took the oath of citizenship this week. And so I went. I've never been there to one of these events swearing in ever. So I was interested in that. But I was not ready for how I reacted to the moment. I was a wreck, man. I was an absolute wreck. My aunt's next to me. Some lady reading a book. And I am like periodically crying like I have just hit menopause. I mean, I'm holding it in. I'm not like sobbing, but the tears are pretty, you know, they're about rolling out. And I'm deep breaths. You know, it's like they're waving the flag. Everybody, go in your packet and pick out your little American flag and wave it. And you see all these flags waving. I'm like, oh, here we go again. And it's like any kind of low-level, patriotic-sounding, uplifting music with, like, even, it wasn't even a video. It was just like a slideshow before the thing. I'm tearing up. I'm like, holy smokes, I love America more than I realized. And just the whole scene there, part of it's me imagining. I got imagination, you know. So a lot of times I see things and then I add to it, like, what-ifs. Maybe it's some comedic part, but sometimes I try to, just like in report, my style of reporting, I try to figure out how you're thinking and why you think things. I do this all the time. I do this actually off duty. I'm trying to figure out. That's why I get along with Republicans and people that I don't agree with. And I'm really just trying to figure it out. I'm fascinated partly, and I'm just trying to figure it out. Due diligence. It's just, you know, you got to be on 24/7. If you're going to do what I do. So that's something that could stay on. You know, if I was like a boxer 24/7, I can't bring that home because I'm probably going to be in jail, right? Punching stuff and assault. No good. So I'm there, and you know, my Uncle Eddie, he's been here a long time. I thought you should have done this a long time ago, right? But he's been, Trump would be happy. He's given to the community. He's a good Packer. Small business owner, like I said. So they do the whole swearing in. And then they pick this one lady, one of the newest Americans, to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm thinking, oh my God. You know, do the Pledge of Allegiance since you're like in kindergarten, right? Every day. You just kind of, you just do it. And you forget, and maybe if you were just like me who became American by, you know, sliding out my mom's uterus, like, American! Yeah, I cried. I love America was my first words. But think about, I just like, oh my God, this is big deal. You are now saying the Pledge of Allegiance for the first time as an American. That means something. So it kind of made me think, I take it for granted when I say that pledge. I hear the words, but am I feeling the words? And I don't think it's going to be a while for that. This wears out because, oh man, I started to cry thinking like, these people are going to give, somebody in there is going to run, this Indian American now, he's going to run for office, and one day, maybe I'm going to interview him, and I'm a sucker for immigrant stories because that's my family story. And that's all the stories. And this guy's going to tell me this immigrant story, and he's invariably going to tell me how it felt. The glorious feeling the first time saying the Pledge of Allegiance as an American citizen. I'm almost going to, I feel like I'm going to cry right now. Might edit this out. We'll think about it. But I'm going to cry. Oh, and here comes the pictures of Mount Rushmore and patriotic music. Oh, and then here comes Trump. Oh, so I kind of took the tears down. Here's Trump. And I've heard about his little video. It's not as good as Barack Obama, but I thought it was fine. The only problem is editing. They do this weird edit. So most of it is the camera straight on and he's looking at the camera reading the words, right? Welcoming these new American citizens. But then periodically the camera, there's a second camera that's to the president's right, pointed at his ear, but he continues looking the other way. And I'm thinking, who's the director here? One thing you don't want to have is multi-angles of a guy who does a little swirl on his head. You don't want to see the angle. You don't want to get a good look at the construction of that comb-over. Joe Biden is the president, which he won't be. He would never do that because if you got the side angle, you'd see the construction. Okay, plugs in the front. He still kind of combs it over in the center, and he's actually bald in the back, and there's all that Botox and who knows what else. You don't want multiple angles. So that was what I was thinking. So then it was tamped down, and there was a low kind of rumble of when Trump came on, but very low. Oh, boy. And so I think I'm cool. We go outside. Everybody, there's family meeting. The new citizens come out. And then I catch a glimpse of this woman, and I don't want to profile, but she kind of looked maybe Iranian. Maybe she was African. That part of the world, right? She's with her... I don't know, with a man, maybe it's her husband, maybe it's just a family member. And she is burying her face into his chest. He's holding her and she is sobbing uncontrollably. That was it. And it conveyed to me that this lady must have went through something bad wherever she came from. Today represented hope. And, you know, it just made you think like that is not what is conveyed on cable news and often by the president. But that's what this is all about. This is hope, American dream, if it exists or not. But it's a chance, whereas this lady probably didn't have it. And so that was it. I just lost it. So. Hope or the lack of hope in this case is a good segue to what happened at Dublin City Council this week is something that I have not seen. I thought, you know, 10 years, right? 10-year anniversary of the East Bay Citizen this month. And, you know, I thought I had seen it all. And, of course, you can't see it all. They're periodically. But something this so clearly like I've never seen in 10 years, that's very rare for me to see. But I saw it, and I used to have this, like, you know, I don't want to get, like, into, like, beliefs or anything, but I was kind of, like, proud that, you know, I've never had in the East Bay, not once, had a story that was, like, disparaging of gays and lesbians and LGBT, all, you know, Q and whatever letters. I've never had, you know, you hear places where somebody, maybe a public official will say something, you know, inappropriate about, you know, I never even had that story. Like, this is not a issue in the East Bay or the Bay Area. We just kind of, you know, moved on. It's just, it's a non-issue. So to go to Dublin, and they have a new city council member, Sean Cumagai, who I heard good things, you know. I didn't cover that race, but I heard good things and from somebody who's a good arbiter of prospects. And now I'm thinking this was my first time seeing him in action. And I'm, yeah, they bolstered my opinion to this other person's opinion because, yeah, he's got, there's something there. You know, he got that Pete Buttigieg thing in terms of being a gay man who served in the military, 17 years in the Navy. So he has a good story there. And so he brings up, he's trying to bring Dublin into the 21st century, or in line with the East Bay, let's say. And he wants to have a proclamation for LGBT month, which is next month in June. And city council, they're cool. 5-0, we're cool with that. We're cool with a piece of paper. But he also had another idea. Let's put the pride flag, the rainbow flag, over City Hall for the whole month in recognition of LGBT communities and the city acceptance of those groups. That was a different story, a way different story. And as somebody commented on Twitter, the comments that came from Dublin residents, you can chalk it up as there's going to be always, you know, goofballs that are going to come out. You know, this guy talking about pedophilia, the sexual decadence is a reason why the Roman Empire was brought down. Therefore, America's going down, I think is what he was saying. You had another guy, for some reason, you thought he was for the flag flying. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about his uncle being, quote, raped while in a bad place. That's how he got AIDS. Like, what are we talking about here? Dublin, what are you doing? Then you got this gun shop owner in Dublin comes in with NRA flag. Will you fly this flag? I don't think so. And then he equates himself to the cause of discrimination against gays and lesbians because he felt it too. Because as a gun shop owner, the Democrats been after him for 40 years. So he can understand. At the same time, he didn't want it either. If you don't discriminate against them, then everybody's discriminated against, all the other groups. It's like this circle logic that actually people in Alameda know because the former mayor, Trish Spencer, when she was a school board member, used it when they wanted to bring in curriculum that had that referenced LGBT families. If we put that in, then we got to put something about every kind of family. And if we don't, that'll be discriminating against those people. So we've heard it before, and this is kind of the, you can kind of read into it, this the crutch to not wanting, not agreeing with gays, lesbian, the transgenders, as one guy said, the lifestyle, whatever that is, lifestyle of waking up, hating your job, having lunch, complaining that gas prices are high, going home, having dinner, and going to sleep, which is how we all feel. Everybody else feels, right? That lifestyle, I guess. So then you have, so it's one thing for those people. There's crazy people, dime a dozen, come to city council meetings, right? But then you have, it's another to have city council members say that. You get this one guy, Arun Goel, who follows these stories I just said with by praising these great speeches, lots of great speeches we just heard. Like, what? The guy talking about being gay is like being a pedophile? That's the great speech? Is anybody paying attention here? And you can't handle it. You can't mess with the sacred pole. That pole is for America and California and Dublin. It's sacred. pole. Do not touch my pole with your rainbow flag or any other flag. It's sacred. Hands off my pole. It's the headline I use. Here's the criticism of Sean Kuma guy. It's laudable that he tried to be like a, you know, Martin Luther King kind of response. Said on a couple occasions he was not there to refute their opinions, right? He wasn't there to change their opinions. He didn't want to fight. And he gave a measured, very laudable, stern response. I just don't know if that was what was prescribed for the level of outrageous speak. And then the response by his colleagues. Now, the mayor, David Hobart, he's pretty conservative. He wanted to make sure over and over again that this is not any, we're all inclusive, no discrimination here, but we're not going to vote for the flag. So that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Now, here, what happens next? I'm not sure. You know, the Democratic Party doesn't have much pull over there. That's why they got Republicans out in the open and closeted ones in many of those Tri-Valley cities. So do they have pull there? What I worry is if groups from other parts west of the Tri-Valley, if they go there to kind of demonstrate, I feel it's a combustible situation. Because listen to the language that you hear from the council member and other people. Dublin's a city, but they, on a couple occasions, said, I refer to this place as a town. It's like this small town. Us against them, our beliefs against yours. I'm a little bit worried. Now, a little bit to the west again of Dublin, my hometown, born and raised in Castro Valley. So I kind of understand, it's kind of the center and kind of the center of two thoughts of more of people from San Leandro, Oakland, and then you got the Tri-Valley line of thinking over the years. So I can understand both those sides being right in the center. But Castro Valley's a way different place than it used to be. And I really hate when people talk about, oh yeah, KKK. Dude, I'm 44 years old and there was no KKK when I was a kid in the 80s, okay? So they're not there. They haven't been there for a long time, right? But a lot of new people have come in there. People like me who've stayed there and they've grown and grown to be more progressive than their parents. And there are others who've moved in there. A lot of people who've moved in there and they're raising families. And they see it's not right. They see it doesn't work. It may be okay. Like, the wheels are not falling out by being under the auspices of Alameda County and not being a city. The wheels are not falling off. But they're not getting any bigger. And they're not getting any shinier. And the tread isn't as strong, thick as they need it to be. And Alameda County has a lot of stuff they need to do, a lot of stuff on their plate, safety net issues. So invariably, Castro Valley is low on the totem pole when it needs to get something done. That's why you get a streetscape, Castro Valley Boulevard, the main thoroughfare. That's why you get a streetscape. And as I wrote, that's why it ends at Redwood. Just boom, right there. You can see the slurry. It's nice and black in a straight line right before he gets to Redwood Road. If you did that in, say, Hayward, you'd have somebody to yell at and somebody that would know, like, if they don't get it done, they might not be a council member. They might not be the mayor in 2 years or 4 years. That's not the case. You don't like it, Alameda County Board of Supervisors, you don't have enough people in Castro Valley to, even if they all voted against you, to knock you out. Plus, the center of that district is Oakland, East Oakland. And I bet you most of those people don't even know that Castro Valley is not a city. A lot of people just realize, they just think it's a city. Just assume, right? So a lot of things. There's legislation that can't get off the ground. And this group, Michael Kuziak, has been having trouble getting people to carry this through. And if it can be, it hits roadblocks. And as he's mentioned many times, this is about power. So Alameda County and Supervisor Nate Miley, who represents Castro Valley, may be for incorporation. But it's unlikely they would do much to help it get done. It's not in their best interest to lose power, whatever percentage of power they're losing, right? It's inherently a person with power not to lose power, right? We can all understand that. So what happens to Castro Valley? It's clear to me, as somebody born there, that basically not much has changed. It's basically the same package, spruced up a little bit here and there. The library's much better than when I was growing up there. But it's kind of the same thing. So I went to Sacramento a couple months ago with Michael Kuziak. And at that point, there was a bill co-authored by, in part, Hayward Assembly Member Bill Quirk. And this would have given places like Castro Valley a leg up in starting the question of incorporation, because you need money. You're going to need money as a startup to get this city going. So what happened, why this is inherently difficult to become a city, and there's been no new cities since 2012, when the vehicle license fee was relinquished from local control. And I hate that phrase, local control, because that's a Republican phrase used by people in blue, super blue cities in the East Bay. But for this purpose, local control to the state. So that's basically a quarter, maybe more than a quarter of your revenue to start out. And without it, there's no way that you could pass the sniff test to have a chance. Like, it's like getting into college. You get C's. There's no way that you're going to Harvard, of course, unless you want to be on the rowing team and you don't know how to swim and never been on a rowboat in your entire life. Then your parents can pay $400,000. But that's not how it works. There's no bribes like that anymore in government. So in that case, at that time, it was looking good. And that's the context of my little interview with Michael Kuziak, one of the Castro Valley rebels and leaders of the push for incorporation for many years.
It's amazing every time I come up here, the group expands. It's always a bigger group that's showing up. And I tend to walk away from these meetings thinking, yeah, we're going to do it this time. We're going to see some success. I've, throughout the years of doing this, I've lost people along the way because they're like, why haven't we resolved this? Why haven't we gotten that MAC elected? Why haven't we gotten incorporated? And this to me is a reminder that a lot of it's incremental. A lot of it's just being persistent. A lot of it's being, hey, Rob Bonta, talk to me. And that's what it was. So the League of Cities, I would call them repeatedly for like 5 years. I see there's this bill for these four cities in Riverside. What about my community, right? And they finally called back. And they said, we got something for you, right? Same thing with Bill Quirk. Bugged him for years. And he finally said, okay, I'll help you out, Mike. I hear you. So I'm going to be optimistic that we can show up as people, as residents of California, and really, in the appropriations round of this, put a face to it. One of our concerns is that the bill's going to be seen as too expensive. Well, as we've argued with the elected MAC or other things in Castro Valley, there's a cost to democracy. And that's part of what we do. We invest in these things. And in the overall view, in the overall scheme of things, it's a small price to pay to ensure that, about 6 million of us who don't have the ability to speak for ourselves can have a direct voice and have influence over our affairs. Hope that didn't sound too rhetorical or platitude-ish for you.
What's next after this?
Yeah, what's next?
You continue to come back here?
Yeah, so,
I'm passed today in the local government.
We were expecting that. We were expecting that to happen. It passed last year. It's really about making sure when it gets to appropriations, it's heard, and the chair hears why it's important to us. I'm hoping to, you know, I've never spoken with the speaker, right? Well, I'm going to try to make that happen next Wednesday. I'm going to be back here in support of Alameda County Schools, and I hope to have a little conversation with the speaker, hopefully, to remind him the importance of this. And that's the tough concession, really, because so much of this is about power. Who has power? Who's willing to give up power? Who's willing to advocate for you and to sort of see behind it? And it's sort of these moments of, like, when you think it's all about to fall apart, that someone says, you know, Mike, just give me a call. I'm going to help you now. That it just, it's reassuring that we can get to somewhere. And, I mean, I this doesn't solve the bigger issue in Castro Valley of educating people about what it means to have self-governance. It doesn't. But it's a stepping stone in the right direction. And I'm optimistic about that. We'll always be optimistic about it.